Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God has given us so much. First article of the Creed and the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer remind us of this important fact. From Luther's Catechism, as we hear the explanation, he writes, God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all of my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. This statement reflects perfectly the perfection Adam and Eve experienced in the garden. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And God said, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. What a bounty of God's good gifts that he has given to his creation and continues to give even this day. And out of so much has come so little. Not long after God placed Adam and Eve into this perfect garden, they threw it all away. Despite being God's creation and having everything they needed, they sought to be something else, to be like the Creator himself, coveting the one thing that they did not need, to be God. That fall hard into sin resulted in a curse from God being placed upon all of mankind and all of creation. What did God have to show for all of his goodness and all of his love? A rebellious creation. At the very least, they were ungrateful for all that God had given them. For Adam and Eve gave in to the temptation that they could be better. They could have even more than God's good gifts. Their eyes could be opened, just like God, knowing good and knowing evil. It did not take long for this selfish ingratitude to progress onto greater and greater sins in the eyes of mankind. Adam and Eve's firstborn son, Cain, grew to hate and resent his younger brother, Abel. Cain's uncorrected hatred festered into violent rage as he slaughtered his own brother by his own hand. The wickedness of mankind would continue to grow so much that God actually regretted that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him to his heart. Words Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 6. The flood then aimed at destroying all of mankind in its wickedness, drowning it in the waters of judgment over sin, all except one Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. The recent terror attacks around the world and the murdering of police officers in Dallas illustrate the wickedness that is still here on earth. Mankind is far, far from being innocent of sin. Mankind is far from being mostly good and sometimes evil. So little goodness has come from the immense goodness of God and his innumerable gifts. This is our sinful condition. It is repulsive in God's sight. He promised, though, never to destroy the earth again by water. Mankind's final judgment is still to come, not by water, but by fire. Until then, God is demonstrating his patience, allowing as many as possible to hear the word of his gospel and to repent from their sin. In the church, you and I here this day have been tasked with preaching that word unto the world. It happens here in this place, of course, as you sit in these pews and hear the word of God week in and week out. But it also happens each and every time you tell your family and your friends what God's word says about sins and evil in this world, of which this world is grossly tolerant. His word is indeed preached by his people. When you hear his people come on to TV, the radio, write in newspapers or blogs what God says about the sinfulness of mankind. Proclaiming God's word regarding sin in this world is a mere part of his remedy for this sin. That proclamation of the world's sin and our sin would be totally pointless if his plan to save mankind from sin did not include the most important part, the gospel. So little goodness has come from all the goodness God has given to us. So much evil has come instead. God's plan was to concentrate it, condense all of mankind down to one individual, one man. Make him the sole representative of every man, woman, and child of the past, the present, and future times to come. This one man would be born into perfection, and he would get it right. He would get everything right. And so Jesus did just that. Born of the Virgin Mary into perfection, free from sin, never to commit any sin, resisted every attack and temptation of the devil. Having lived the perfect life in the midst of this grossly sinful world, Jesus then laid down that life, his life, for all of us upon the cross. From Jesus, from this one man, the new Adam, has come then so much. His death and his resurrection for you and for me means everything. From his blood shed pours out the forgiveness of sins. For God could not simply overlook wickedness and sin. He did not ignore our rebellion and simply say, "It's okay." God's perfect justice demanded justice. God required a payment for all mankind's sin, not one to be left uncovered. So it either had to be all of our lives as that payment, or someone's life in our place. Jesus answered that call gladly and willingly by his blood and his life sacrificed. God has thus declared all of our sins forgiven. Full atonement. The blood needed for every sin is made in Jesus. Of course, you and I did nothing to earn that, to deserve that. There was nothing that we could do to get that from God, for there is nothing that the dead can do to raise themselves. There's nothing sinners could do that would ever be free from sin, that could ever possibly be pleasing in God's sight. From Jesus Christ, the one man, has come eternal life for all who believe in him. You and I, we cannot give life to any. We can help care for it, and we can be used by God to help bring it about. But it is not ours to give or to take away. Yet Jesus Christ himself is the life. From the one who is the life comes all life. Forth from the openings of the nail marks of Jesus on the cross flooded forth that life eternal for all. One man only, the Lord Jesus Christ, is credited with doing all of this for all humanity. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. And that grace there, of course, is Jesus. So in His plan for mankind's salvation, God has flipped that truth upon its head. So little from so much. That's how it must work for us who are sinners. But by God's good grace, He has brought so much from so little. Consider the seed. Any seed shall do. From that seed comes enough to feed many. And God certainly provides enough food for all the world to be filled. Jesus demonstrated that in His miraculous feeding of the thousands, as He makes so much from so little. From 7 loaves of bread and some fish come enough food to feed over 4,000 people. That seed of 7 loaves and fish, so little, but it gave so much by Jesus' great power. And consider God's word. Now, many do consider it today and laugh in its face. They come up with way after way to discredit the word of God and to turn others away from it to more human ventures. And yet that word of God is truly powerful. It will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And it has brought you and me into His family. That word of God has combined with other seemingly insignificant small items to bring about many blessings, many people for His great harvest. The word combined with water places the name of Jesus upon the sinner and establishes a people for our God. The word joined with bread and wine permit the body and blood of Jesus to be eaten and drunk by the sinner, strengthening them in the one true faith. In our sin, we have managed to bring so little good from the greatest good that God has given to us. But thanks be to our God that Jesus has given us so much good from Himself, the one man who has taken the place of all. From Him are all things, and to Him belongs all glory, honor, and blessing, now and forever. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.